From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of May, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Shane Holthorff. He's at Logic Ag Marketing in Alta, Iowa. That's about 90 miles to the east of Sioux City on the far western side of that state. We'll hear about conditions in the area from him and what he thinks about the marketplace. And then we'll hear more about conditions as it's related to Iowa and the rest of the Midwest with the state statisticians updating yesterday's crop progress report. And as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast too with Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and we'll do all of that on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn for the day settled at $4.67, down two. September, a quarter lower at $4.76.5. And December at $4.88.5. The new crop finished unchanged. July futures in the soybeans down two and a quarter. $12.46.5 the settlement price. November at $12.28. Up 8.25 cents. Bean meal futures at 383.20, down 4.40, and the bean oil for the day 66 cents lower at 44.50. Wheat futures in the July at 642.75, down 6. The December at 689, down 4.25. Those both for the soft red. The hard red down 11.25, settled at $6.64 per bushel. Live cattle futures were 65 cents higher. The feeder cattle up $1.55, and lean hogs were 15 cents higher. The wholesale price of crude oil at 8 cents a barrel higher at $78.56 on this Tuesday afternoon. Shane Holthorff now joins us from Logic Ag Marketing. He's in Alta, Iowa, just north of Highway 20 that runs to Sioux City, which is about 90 miles from him, there on the Nebraska, South Dakota, Iowa border. Thank you, Shane, for taking some time with us today. I know you're traveling, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but could you first tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
So I grew up about 30 miles east of Alta, settled in Alta as we got married, and we were just looking for a good place to raise a family, and that's where my wife is from. And so we have a shop right on Main Street there in Alta. And I graduated from Iowa State, spent about 6 years at Cargill in the grain merchandising, grain origination area. And then from there, moved on to farm credit and spent about 6 years in the ag lending world. And then from there, we decided to start our own brokerage and livestock risk protection insurance business. And fast forward to today, here we are.
So you're at Logic Ag Marketing again. That's in Alta, Iowa. Tell me about the area there. I know you grew up on a farm, but is this in the rolling lands that we think of in the far western part of Iowa, or have you flattened out yet?
Yep. So where we're at in Alta sits about right on the divide. If you go east to where I grew up, it's pancake flat. And if you go west of where we are, you know, the hills start to roll a little more, and we're about the perfect medium here in Alta.
I believe Iowa was 47% planted in the USDA state reports from yesterday. Is that about how far along producers are there?
Yeah, I would say those numbers align really closely with where we're at here in this general area. You know, a lot of the bigger farmers got some starts early on, and, you know, we always talk about how much equipment these folks have, and they can really get the planting. And so there's some guys, you know, a lot further along than that 50%, but I would have to take the average there and say that's pretty darn close to our neck of the woods.
The one thing we've heard here in Champaign County, Illinois, on the eastern side of the state of Illinois, is that it's dry, or had been dry, in the western part of the Corn Belt. Is that still the case?
That is definitely not the case. You know, we were dry when we started planting. We got an early start, and the conditions were great. You know, the old plant in the dust and the bins will bust. We definitely had that going on, and that's what allowed, you know, to get so much planted in so little time. You know, however, as I'm making my drive across northwest Iowa today, there's pond after pond that haven't been full in 5 or 6 years. And, you know, where I'm heading was deep in the red part of the drought last year, and there's water everywhere. So in the last 10 days or so, we've gotten 10 inches of rain. And so it's saturated. I spent the morning digging out trenches of my alfalfa field just to try to get water away from it.
Is the corn up and are farmers worried?
The corn just started poking through earlier this week. I would assume if we dry out here a little, we're going to see a bunch of emergence. But to answer your question about the worry is yes, I think farmers inherently worry until the corn comes up. But what we've seen come up, it doesn't look pretty. It's pretty yellow. You know, it needs some roots to get down to the nitrogen in it, and it needs some sun. But so we've got a little work to do on making it look pretty, and I think farmers will feel a lot better if we get some total emergence out there.
Soils are saturated. Once they begin to dry out, those should green up okay. Speaking of drying out, how long before you get back into the field, do you think?
You know, I was pretty impressed with how much we had dried out even last night as I drove around. You know, we were starting to see a little bit of gray on top. And I bet, you know, as soon as this afternoon or tomorrow morning, you know, guys would have been tempted to get back out in the field, but with another inch and a half of rain, pretty widespread, I've got to believe that it'll be this weekend sometime if we don't catch anything else. You know, there's a little more in the forecast for tonight. So I'd have to put us off till at least probably Saturday or Sunday before we see any guys back in the field.
Farmers in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt are notorious, in our perspective, for holding on to grain. Have they?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I would say the general consensus was exactly what your stereotype, if you want to call it that, was. You know, 45 days ago, there was a lot of grain sitting around. We've started to see that, you know, even with the planting delays, guys don't have a lot to do. So they've been in their trucks driving, hauling grain, and we've still seen basis creeping up and up and up. You know, some pretty good push bids out there to get grain moving. So that tells me what's in the bin is locked up tight, but I really think a lot of grain got let go in that February and March timeframe just from a pure cash flow need perspective.
Are you short grain still in that area then? I mean, are you short because farmers haven't sold, or are you just short?
So, you know, if you look at this general Alta area and, you know, a 90-mile radius around it, there is, especially as you go north and west, there's a ton of livestock. And so we've got some ethanol plants. We've got quite a few feed mills, hog barns, turkey barns, you know, you name it. And so generally speaking, although we had a really good crop in our neck of the woods, we are still short the physical grain, you know, and that's pretty evidenced by what the basis has been doing here lately.
Do you have more than just the Denison plant to the south of you?
Oh, yeah. We within 40 miles of Storm Lake, we probably have, without counting, I'm going to say that there's 8 ethanol plants.
That would keep bases popping, I would think, for a whole while.
Yeah,
speaking of the marketplace,
yeah.
What do you think about the recent rallies?
Sure. You know, the first thing I say about these recent rallies is, you know, reward them. You know, we've gotten so many calls to talk about where guys are at, where break-evens are at. And, you know, guys have been pretty nervous waiting for the market to do something. And so, you know, we've just been telling people, make sure you're rewarding it. Get some cash sales moving. You know, we're back to those break evens that we hadn't had a chance to sell at for a while. And, you know, if I look at the market as we move forward, you know, it's really up to Mother Nature. You know, we've seen a little bit of short covering here just because of what the forecast can hold. And if we start to pop some more rains into the, you know, the extended forecast across the Corn Belt, then I think we could see another leg up in this market. But I would certainly reward this market for what it's done up to this point.
Old and new crop, I take it both?
Yeah.
And corn and soybeans?
Yes, for sure in both. You know, I'm of the opinion that, you know, if we enter a true weather market, we're likely to see corn rally more than beans just because beans are going to, you know, probably take some of that acreage away from corn, you know, even if it's late planted. You know, so beans might start to slough off while corn can remain strong as it tries to keep some of that acreage in its court.
Hey, Shane, thank you.
Absolutely.
Shane Holtorp is with Logic Ag Marketing, located in Alta, Iowa. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium, online on demand at WILLAG.org. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a month since the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed at the Port of Baltimore, and it did have an impact on agricultural trade. USDA's Rod Bain has this update on what's happened since.
Late March, the dramatic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge at the entrance to the Port of Baltimore.
The Army Corps of Engineers is on the spot and is going to help lead this effort to clear the channel.
This is an important port for both imports and exports, which is important for farm equipment.
President Joe Biden and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, respectively, at the initial White House press conference shortly after the incident. Various contingency plans were enacted to divert ship cargo traffic to other ports. Cargo with goods such as farm equipment and commodities like sugar and soybeans. All while partners worked to clear the channel to resume transport of product. Regarding those efforts and what has transpired to date, a place to start is channel restoration. U.S. Trade Representative's Office Chief Agricultural Negotiator Doug McCaleb provided this late April update to farm broadcasters.
11-foot channel come online about 2 weeks after the accident, a 14-foot channel just south of the wreckage come online.
Plus a temporary 35-foot deep channel, allowing for larger cargo ship traffic briefly, before debris removal efforts focused on that specific path.
The goal is, by the end of May, to have two-way traffic 50 foot deep, able to accommodate two-way vessel traffic.
Regarding impacts to various aspects of the ag sector, Darren Kopic of the Agricultural Retailers Association says for farm equipment such as combines and implements usually delivered at the Port of Baltimore.
We're told that most of that freight has been diverted or is otherwise not delayed to the extent that people thought it might be.
Then there are various commodities. In fact, within the port is a major sugar processor and distributor. As Luther Marquardt of the American Sugar Alliance explains regarding the commodity his organization represents.
There were two ships that were in and just had unloaded, so they had an inventory of 6 to 8 weeks, and then they were able to float some barges in that don't need the deep water channels, and they were able to get those in, and they just brought in a ship that was brought in the existing channel. We don't need the 50-foot deep one. So there was never a problem or disruption in taking care of customers.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Let's stay with USDA for a moment, but we'll turn our attention to the weekly crop progress report, where the agency says that 36% of the corn crop as of Sunday had been planted. The rolling five-year average is 39%, so there is a bit of delay from the previous week to this week. 12% of that crop has now emerged. The rolling five-year average there is 9%. 25% of the soybeans have been sown. The rolling five-year average is 21%, so still ahead on that tab. 9% of that crop has emerged. 4% is the rolling five-year average. 43% of the wheat has headed. 32% is the five-year average, and its good to excellent rating is up 1% total from the previous week, from 43-6 to 44 in the good category and 6, for a total of 50% of that crop in good to excellent shape. Now here are the statisticians with their updates from across the Midwest.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician. Fieldwork activities were limited as rain across the state held Iowa farmers to just 1.4 days suitable for fieldwork during the week ending May 5, 2024. Rains the past 2 weeks have resulted in reports of some counties moving out of the extreme to severe drought stages. Topsoil moisture condition rated 4% very short, 12% short, 65% adequate, and 19% surplus. Just 8% of Iowa's expected corn crop was planted during the week ending May 5, 2024, for a total of 47% planted. This meant progress went from ahead of average to lagging 2 days behind both last year and the five-year average. 7% of the corn crop has emerged, 3 days ahead of last year and 1 day ahead of the average. Soybeans planting progress fell behind the previous year, with 5% of Iowa's expected soybean crop planted during the week ending May 5, 2024, for a total of 30% of the expected soybean crop planted, 2 days behind last year. 4% of the soybean crop has emerged. The first hay condition rating of the season was 1% very poor, 3% poor, 21% fair, 64% good, and 11% excellent. Pasture condition rated 57% good to excellent. There were many reports of cattle being turned out to pasture. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois temperatures cooled and precipitation increased last week. The state average temperature was 55.2 degrees, and that was 0.8 degrees below normal for this time of year. Rainfall averaged 1.62 inches across the prairie state. That is nearly 8/10 of an inch above normal. Southern areas were drier than normal, but the rest of the state was wetter than average, with the western part of Illinois getting the most rainfall. There were 3.1 days suitable for field work around the state last week, and topsoil moisture increased to 4% short, 58 adequate, and 38% surplus. Corn planting advanced by 14 points to reach 25% finished, compared to 34% 1 year ago and 25% for the 5-year average. 6% of corn acres have emerged compared to 3% normally. Soybean planting reached 26% finished. That compares to 32% last year and 18% normally. 5% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 1% normally. The Illinois wheat crop was 16% headed compared to 13% 1 year ago and 11% for the 5-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop improved from 1 week ago and was rated 1% poor, 12% fair, and 87% good to excellent. That is better than 1 year ago. Pasture conditions also improved from last week and were rated 3% poor, 19% fair, and 78% good to excellent. That is a little worse than 1 year ago. There is still a lot of field work to do in Illinois, so please watch out for big equipment on small rural roads. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Fieldwork is limited during the week due to rain, which covered Minnesota for most of the week. Livestock were doing well and being let out to pasture. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 10% short, 65% adequate, and 23% surplus. Corn planted was at 42% complete. That's 3 days ahead of last year and 1 day ahead of the 5-year average. Corn emerged was at 4%. Soybeans planted reached 17%, that's 3 days ahead of last year. Spring wheat planted was at 51%, with 18% emerged. All hay condition was rated 62% good to excellent, and the pasture condition was rated 58% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Nathaniel Warnsky, Indiana State Statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Warm weather bolstered winter wheat crop progress, and Indiana farmers made planting progress where field conditions allowed. Topsoil moistures increased from the previous week with 96% rated adequate or surplus. Corn planting progress increased to 20%, yet remained behind the 5-year average. Meanwhile, soybean planting progress at 20% overtook the 5-year average. Emergent progress for both crops began ahead of their 5-year averages. Winter wheat condition improved slightly from last week with 79% of the crop rated good to excellent. Abnormally high temperatures allowed winter wheat to progress quickly. The crop was 23% headed, significantly ahead of the 5-year average. Pastures were doing well due to the heat and ample rain. Other activities for the week included installing tile, melon planting, and applying fertilizer and herbicides. This is Nathaniel Warnsky, Indiana State Statistician for the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
We'll check in on a couple of other states where 31% of the corn crop is planted in Nebraska. The 5-year average there is 48%. In Kansas, they have 51% of their corn crop sown. 43% is the rolling 5-year average. Nebraskans have planted about 18% of their soybeans. 28% is the 5-year average. In North Dakota, just 3% of the soybeans have been sown. The 5-year average there is only 2%, so they're still on pace. And in South Dakota, 10% of the soybean crop has been sown. 9% is the 5-year average. Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You can hear them each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, online on demand at willag.org, WILLAG.org, or in your favorite podcast applications. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hello, Don. Thank you for being with us.
Good to be here.
Could you give me some details about where rain has fallen and where it has not? For instance, I know that there's been at least 8 inches in parts of western Iowa in the last couple of weeks. Can you give me more information?
Well, the moisture that you indicated there at the beginning certainly has been the case. Is we've had a pattern that's been repeating itself. This is probably going on 5 or 6 weeks or so, where we've had a lot of Pacific fronts go west to east across the nation. And as they've hit the Midwest and the northern plains to the southern plains, it's caused a lot of shower and thunderstorm activity. Of course, it's also produced a lot of the severe weather that we continue to see. And if you were to look at the rainfall anomalies over the last couple of weeks, you would certainly see a north-south axis of the heaviest precipitation go from central and east Texas north through the eastern side of Oklahoma and Kansas, through a good part of central and eastern Nebraska, the Dakotas. Then that expands into Missouri and southern and western areas of Iowa, into Minnesota, then into central Illinois. Now, the areas that are looking at average or maybe slightly below average rainfall over that period of time is the eastern Corn Belt. It hasn't been as wet in Indiana, Ohio, into Kentucky and Tennessee. It's been those central and western areas that have been the most wet, and we're going to see that here for another week before we start to see the weather pattern change up a little bit as we get towards the middle of May.
Do you see the eastern area staying drier?
Well, that's going to be the case probably here for the next week. They're going to get some rain, but the heavier precipitation is, again, going to favor those central and western areas. But I do see Indiana, Ohio, while nothing really heavy, getting back into the mix here. Now, I think what we will probably see here for the next 10 to 14 days is sort of this repeating pattern that we've seen. That will transition to a drier one that I'm expecting to be around or just after that, near that Memorial Day period.
And if you could check in on some of the hard red winter wheat growing regions, please. I believe parts of Kansas, Oklahoma have gotten some rainfall.
They have. They need more. It wasn't widespread to the point where everybody benefited, but things have gotten a little bit more wet there. But if we were to compare those areas to many other areas in the central and west, they continue to have soil moisture deficits from the past several weeks, and they could use some more.
Thank you much, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.